This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to answer the question, do I have to go to church to go to heaven? Or put another way, do I have to go to church to be saved? This morning we want to answer that question because there are a large number of people in America who some have described them as the unchurched. They simply don't go anywhere. They're not a member of any particular church. And yet they are good people in many kinds of ways. And if you were to talk with them, they would say they believe in God and they want to go to heaven. But they don't attend any particular church. As we consider the decline in church membership in the United States, we must consider whether or not most Americans believe that one must be a member of a church, and in their concept, any church, to be saved. There are a large number of people in the United States, and maybe even in this community, who just simply don't go anywhere. A good many Americans have reached the conclusion that they can be just as good a Christian without going to church as they can be while attending a church. And really, it's not just simply those who claim to be Christians. You could ask the same question of a Jew or a Muslim. Can a person be a good Christian without going to a church? Can a person be a good Jew without attending a synagogue? Can a person be a good Muslim without attending a mosque, and so forth? We're seeing a large number of people who just simply are not going to any particular church. In fact, several years ago, it's been over 20 years ago when this statistic was taken with regard to this question, and when it was asked, can a person be a good Christian without attending any church? 70% of people who go to church say yes, and 80% of people who don't go to church say yes. That's a large number of people. And so this morning, the question is, do I have to go to church to be saved? We're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. We hope that this Bible study together will be helpful to you, encouraging to you to be a member of the Lord's church and regularly assemble together with other Christians in order to be right with God. If that's not something you're currently doing and you're listening, I'm glad you are. And I hope that I can help in some way. And we're going to turn to God's Word to answer that question. You know, there may be a lot of reasons why people don't go to a church. Many don't go because maybe they're just plain lazy. Many do not go because they are told they do not have to go. Many do not go because they are turned off by who or what is there. Many do not go because they have more important things to do on a Sunday. They have their golf game. They have their yard that they need to mow. They have to go to the beach or to the mountains. They have to sit in their lazy boy recliner and watch the Titans play football. They might have in their mind more important things to do. So this morning we want to address something that really is popular among many people. And we hope to answer that from God's Word. We want to let the Bible speak to that matter. You know, a lot of times people look for the bare minimum. What are the bare minimum requirements? There are those who look for the bare minimum in their marriage or in their family. What's the bare minimum I have to do with my parents? What's the bare minimum amount of schoolwork that I can do and get by? What's the bare minimum that I can do at work and still get paid? I think there's a lot of folks in life that are looking for a bare minimum requirement. And maybe some people do that with God. There are those who look in the Bible for the bare minimum requirement. And if it doesn't mention church, then they believe that they have found what they need. One such passage in the Old Testament is Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. If you'll turn in your Old Testaments to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, sometimes people will turn to this verse and they'll say, this is the bare minimum requirement because the word require is used there. This is the bare minimum requirement that God wants and church is not mentioned. Micah is writing to sinful Israel of the day. And he writes, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth Jehovah require of thee, but to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. So there's the bare minimum that God required, to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. Well, first of all, the text doesn't say the bare minimum. The text is talking about what God requires of Israel in that day. First of all, the church, the New Testament church, is not even in existence at this time. There are no Christians assembling to worship God at this time. This is in the Old Testament. But the verse doesn't say the bare minimum requirement. It talks about what God requires, and the context must be considered. At this time, Israel was just simply going through the ritual of sacrifice. But they would not repent of their sins. They were continuing to bring the sacrifices. You can look at that if you back up a couple of verses, verses 6 and 7. They were continuing to bring the sacrifices, but they wouldn't change their lives. Outwardly, they were going through the motions, but inwardly, they were not right with God. They needed to repent and act justly before they bring their sacrifices. They would bring their sacrifices, but they wouldn't change their inward character. If you back up to chapter 3 and verse 11, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they lean upon Jehovah and say, is not Jehovah in the midst of us? No evil shall come upon us. They acted like everything was fine when it was not. And Micah says, you need to learn that God requires some other things of you in addition to sacrifice. He requires that you live justly, that you love kindness, that you walk humbly with thy God. This same principle is actually found throughout the Old Testament. God certainly wanted the Israelite to bring his sacrifice to the tabernacle and then later the temple. But he wanted them to do that with a proper heart and attitude in life. Don't just simply go through the ritual, but have the righteous character that goes with that. It's taught in 1 Samuel 15:22, Isaiah 1:10 and following, Isaiah 66:1 through 4, Jeremiah 6:19 and 20, Hosea 6 and verse 6. God wants righteousness first, not just ritual. God wanted them to get their heart right first and then offer with their hands. The same principle is found in Psalm 51 verses 16 through 19. So Micah 6:8 talks about what God requires, but first of all, it's not a bare minimum requirement. It is a requirement of God in addition to the outward sacrifices. They were to have inward righteousness. The truth of the matter is, in the Old Testament, and we're coming to the New Testament church in just a minute, but the Old Testament actually required the Israelite to come to a particular place to offer up their sacrifice. And when a person did not do that, he was condemned for not doing that. So even the Old Testament Jew had to come to a particular location to offer up his sacrifice. Remember this morning, friends, that we're answering the question, do I have to go to church? We're going to talk about the meaning of church in just a moment, but just think about that place. Do I have to go somewhere? We're finding out that the answer is yes. Under the Old Testament law, the Jew at that time had to go somewhere to be right with God. He couldn't just stay at home all the time. In Leviticus chapter 17, verses 8 and 9, "And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourned among them, that offer a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tent of meeting to sacrifice it unto Jehovah, that man shall be cut off from his people." You couldn't just do it at home. You couldn't just neglect the place that God had picked out for that sacrifice. And if you'll turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 12, there was indeed a place that God selected. Wherever the Israelites were at, that place was selected to raise the tabernacle where there was an altar of sacrifice and other things there, and they must go to that place. Israelites were required to bring their offering to the tabernacle. And when they did not do that, they were to be cut off. The Israelites were required to come and worship at the place God had chosen. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, we don't have time this morning to read the whole chapter, but this chapter mentions the place several times, the place where the sacrifice was to be had. It mentions it more than once. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Israelites are told not to offer up any idolatrous worship. And then in Deuteronomy 12, verse 4, "You shall not do so unto Jehovah your God, but unto the place which Jehovah your God shall choose out of all your tribes, to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there thou shalt come." Talking about the tabernacle. "And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herd and all the flock. And there you shall eat before Jehovah your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you shall put in your hand, you and your household, wherein Jehovah thy God hath blessed thee. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." And then he goes on to say in the verses that follow, he mentions that place. Verse 11, the place. Verse 14, the place. Verse 18, the place. Over and over and over again. They had to go and worship God there. Friends, we're seeing that the question is answered. I must go somewhere on a regular basis to be right with God. Now, when we turn over to the New Testament, we find the same thing. In the New Testament, when the church began, the church that Jesus said he would build, Matthew 16, 18, not churches of men today, but the one he said he would build, and we can go back and be like that church today, a church belonging to Christ. When that church began on the day of Pentecost, first of all, that day was a Sunday. And they assembled together on that day when that church, first church in Jerusalem, began. First of all, the word church in the New Testament is not a building. The word church refers to people who were called out. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, ek, out of, and klesis, to call. People called out of the world of sin through the gospel. So, literally and technically, a church is not a place that you go to. A church is a body of saved people. Jesus is the head of the church. He's head of a body of people, Ephesians 1:23, Ephesians 5:23. Jesus shed his blood for the church, for people, Acts 20, verse 28. So first of all, church is not a building. It's a group of people who worship God, but they do assemble together in a location. And there are some requirements of Christians that can only be fulfilled in the assembly. That may be a surprise to a lot of people. I think there are a lot of people who feel that they can be saved and they can go to heaven and they can be right with God by just simply thinking about that at home or thinking about that when they're somewhere else. They don't have to go to an assembly of Christians and do anything. They can just sort of think about God and go to heaven and maybe periodically pray or from time to time read a verse in the Bible. It may come to a surprise that there are some weekly requirements that are fulfilled only in the assembly of Christians. Let's look at those. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the writer of Hebrews says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some." The Hebrew writer is trying to encourage New Testament Christians not to forsake the assembling of themselves together, as is the custom of some. Some had already made a habit of that, just like they do today. First of all, worship was done with one accord. Remember that church that I mentioned earlier that began on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. They worship with one accord, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 46. They offered up prayers together. Prayer was done after being assembled together. Ephesians 4, 31, Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. Sometimes there was the discussion of local church problems. And in Acts chapter 6, the church there in Jerusalem, after they had called the multitude together, they discussed some of the problems that were going on and how to fix that. We find that there is the teaching of God's Word. It was done when the church was gathered together. They were gathered together with the church, Acts 11, verse 26. The church would assemble to read God's Word or letters that were sent to them. Colossians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, they gathered together in the church assembly to read the letter that Paul had written to them. Sometimes there was the discussing of the Lord's work, and it was done after the gathering of the church together, Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. Discipline was to be done when the church was gathered together, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. Any church member that was not living right and they would not repent, they were to withdraw themselves from that individual, and that was done by coming together and talking about that. The Lord's Supper was served when you come together. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There are two chapters in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that really make it clear that coming together is required of a Christian to be saved and to go to heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is talking about the taking of the Lord's Supper. Look at verse 17. He says, "You come together." Verse 18, he writes, "You come together in the church." In other words, you come together in the assembly of Christians. Verse 18, also verse 22. Verse 20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place." Look at verses 33 and 34. "When you come together to eat," talking about the Lord's Supper. And then he says, "You're coming together," verse 34. This makes it very clear that the New Testament Christians came together for the Lord's Supper. In Acts chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, the disciples at Troas, Paul was there. The text says, "Upon the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "they were gathered together to break bread," talking about the Lord's Supper. This is done only in the assembly. It's not done individually at home or missing it altogether. But on Sunday, I must come together with other Christians and partake of the Lord's Supper with them. That is a requirement. So yes, I must go and be assembled with other Christians in order to be saved and to go to heaven. I can't have a Christianity that is just simply something in my heart and in my mind, and I never have to go anywhere to practice that. Now, let me hasten to say that being a Christian, I can do some things individually. And when I'm away from other Christians, I can sing if I'm joyful. James chapter 5, 13 and following. I can pray by myself. I can read my Bible by myself. But there are some acts of worship that are done only on the first day of the week, Sunday, and only in the assembly. The Lord's Supper is one of those, and the contribution of my money is another one, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So 1 Corinthians 11 makes it very clear when you come together. Paul mentions that at least five times in that chapter. Now turn with me a couple of chapters over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul talks about preaching and teaching in the assembly. He talks about when the whole church be gathered together, 1 Corinthians 14:23. We have these same statements that are made. In 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about you come together, verse 26. He talks about in the church, the assembly, verse 19, verse 28, verses 33 through 35. He talks about the whole church be assembled together, verse 23. He writes in verse 26, when you come together, each one has a psalm, and so forth. Worship and edification being built up is done when the whole church be gathered together and when you come together. Yes, I must be there. And so there are things that are done. There are things that are done in the assembly. And the Lord's Supper is one of those. Preaching and teaching God's Word is one of those. And the collection. Turn over to 1 Corinthians a couple more chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, I gave order under the churches of Galatia, so do you. It's an order, it's a command, it's not a suggestion, that upon the first day of the week, they were to lay by in store. Talking about an offering of a freewill offering of money, so that that money could be used to do the Lord's work. The question is, do I have to go to church? Well, I have to be in the assembly of other Christians in order to take the Lord's Supper and in order to give my contribution. And as a faithful Christian, I'm described in the New Testament as a member of a body, and I can't be absent. The Lord's church assembles together each first day of the week. At the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we meet twice on Sunday. We meet again on Wednesday night. One reason why we meet on Sunday is to fulfill those Sunday commands. The Lord's Supper is for each Sunday upon the first day of the week. The collection is on a Sunday, upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And the Lord's Supper, upon the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7 and 8. We assemble together to take the Lord's Supper together to give of our contribution together. Because that's the command in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and the example that is given in Acts 20, verse 7 and 8. We want to follow those New Testament examples and those commands today. We don't want to neglect those things. The Christians that assemble together at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, they have lawns to mow and they have TVs to watch and they have meat to barbecue and on and on and on, boats to ride in on the lake. But on the first day of the week, they put the Lord first. They assemble together. They neglect those other things and put the Lord first and come and be a part of that assembly that they need to be a part of. And we would encourage you to do the same, friends. I would encourage you to do the same. So much today is just simply about individualism. Me and my phone and my things, and I don't need anybody else. And what's happening is the devil is getting a lot of people to just simply do their own thing and not come and be a faithful Christian and assemble together to worship God. I find it interesting back in that passage that we were looking at earlier in the lesson in Deuteronomy chapter 12, where Moses is telling the Israelites that you need to go to the place that God chooses and you need to go there to worship. And I thought it was interesting that in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 8, he says, "You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." Don't just be doing whatever you want to do. Go to the place that God requires and there offer up your sacrifice. What's happening today is too many people are just doing their own thing, and the devil is enjoying that, I'm sure. We need to come and assemble together. Local churches in the first century met upon the first day of the week, Acts 2:1, Acts 2:42, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. They met at other times, but they at least met on the first day of the week. They were united together. They were joined together. And when there was a habit of forsaking the assembly, the writer of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, rebuked them for that and told them to come back. So what we find, friends, is that individuals did, in fact, Christians did, in fact, assemble together. There was no specified place in the first century. Sometimes they, early on in Acts chapter 2, they met in the temple. Some met in an upper room in Acts 20. Some met in the privacy of their homes, Romans 16, verse 3. But they came together to worship God. They came together for the Lord's Supper, for preaching and teaching, for the contribution or the collection, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. For singing, Ephesians 5, 19. For prayer, Acts 12, verse 5. For reading of Scripture, Colossians 4, 15 and 16. For reports about the Lord's work, Acts 14, 26 and 27. To discuss local church issues and problems, Acts 6, 1 and 6. For church discipline, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 and 5. They didn't assemble for any types of social or recreational activities. Those were done outside the assembly, individually. They assembled to come and worship God. They did that on a regular basis. They did that on the first day of the week. Friends, let's follow that New Testament pattern of assembling so that we can be right with God. Can we encourage you to do that? We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come and assemble together and worship God. Come be a simple New Testament Christian. Let us help you to do that. We're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you'll tune in next week for another edition of this program.